The thing is, if we don't know the truth, that's when we get beat up in this world. It really is. If we don't know the truth, that's when we become, you know, just pawns in the movement of evil in this world. There was another story that I wanted to tell you. It was kind of fun. It's about a guy that got engaged right before he had to go to the army and into war. Whenever he was over there, he would write to his fiance all the time. And as he wrote, she wrote back. And she was writing back saying, "Now you've been gone a while. Are you being faithful to me?" And the young man said, "Yes, I know there's a lot of pretty girls over here, but I'm being faithful to you." So she, interestingly, packed up a harmonica and sent it over and said, "While you're there, I want to give you something to do in your spare time rather than look at those pretty girls. So I want you to learn how to play the harmonica for me." And so she sent it over, and this guy's name was, he was from the South, Billy Bob. So Billy Bob actually went through his tour of duty and came back home, and there was his fiance ready to greet him. And so Billy Bob went over and was just about ready to give her a big old schmutz, you know. And she said, "Just hold on there, young man. First, I want to hear you play that harmonica." Billy Bob, whenever we get suspicious, right, we actually start to draw conclusions in our own mind. And in the world we live in today, suspicion is one of the tools of the enemy. Suspicion, for example, that God's word is really not true. Suspicion that maybe only certain people can understand it. Suspicion that maybe it isn't the inspired word of God. We don't really have something to base our absolute truth upon. This is what goes on in the world that we live in. So it's really important for us to come to know the truth, right? This was interesting. I thought, Dee, you'd like this too. Barna has been doing research for years, conducting research in America about how Christianity is doing here in America. And so he was doing this survey through his company in California, and it said that by a 3-to-1 margin, adults said truth is always relative to the person in their situation. In other words, you know, what's true for you in any given time or place may be different than what's true for someone else. Among teenagers, 83% of the teenagers surveyed, which was a representative sample of America, said moral truth depends on the circumstances, and only 6% of the whole group said that absolute truth, moral truth is absolute, that there is an absolute right and wrong for everyone, that there is an absolute right and wrong for everyone. 6% of teenagers in America, huh? We have them all sitting here. All right. These are the four ways that Satan really does try to pervert truth. Question its existence. In other words, there is no real truth. It's all relative. Number two, cast doubt on why God would present some kind of a truth. Why should we believe that? Deny the consequences of obeying the truth. Ah, you know, you shall not surely die. Remember that lie? Or mixing the truth in with lies and twisting it so that it ends up meaning something other than what God intended. Huh? Four good things. But how can you know? You shall know the truth, and it shall set you free. You have to be able to know the truth, right? So here's a fun way we're going to do it today. We're going to go through this little truth or consequences in the Bible or not, looking at the truth of 1 John, knowing that we have to understand it. Here's one of the things that you hear all the time. The Bible is so full of errors that you can't really believe any of it. Anybody ever hear that? Contradiction errors? Well, the truth is that every seeming contradiction in the Bible can be explained by its context. In other words, if you really dig in, you understand that what some people say are contradictions in the Bible are really just differences in how one gospel writer, for example, recorded events as opposed to another gospel writer. The other thing is, look at this next one. There are so many translations of the Bible, there's no way of knowing what it really says. Has anybody ever heard something like that? So many translations. Well, the thing is, you get confused. Translations or versions of the Bible, you know, those are two different things, right? Translations, really, how many have a King James Bible in here? Yeah? How about a NIV? Yeah? How about a Message Bible? Anybody? Yep. Yeah. Now, the difference between those Bibles is not that one is right and one is wrong, correct? Some of the Bibles are literal word-for-word translations of the original Scriptures. Some of them are paraphrases, which captures the thoughts of Scripture, but puts it in a way that maybe it helps us understand the meaning, right? Does that mean that one translation is wrong and the other one's right? No, it really doesn't. Is there only one translation that Christians should read? Some churches believe so. Some churches believe that if you're not reading out of the King James, you're going to hell. Right? Yeah. Does anybody know how the King James Bible came to be? King James, right? Yeah. He wanted his own English Bible, and so he had, you know, some people do a very good translation of it. But, you know, the fact of the matter is, there are other wonderful translations. New American Standard, anybody ever hear that? Word for word translations of the original Scriptures. Just as accurate, word for word, as the King James is. Anyway, here's the fun part. Bible or not, this is your turn. I'm going to put some things up on the screen, and you have to tell me whether you believe it's in the Bible or not. All right? You can work together on this, and don't be afraid. Thumbs up, thumbs down, shout it out. Here's the first one. A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. In the Bible or not? Show me some thumbs, up or down. This is in the Bible. This is not in the Bible. A bird in the hand, two in the bush. In, out. Some up, some down. Looks like most are down. Let's see. Ha! A common phrase, but not in the Bible. It actually probably came from the 19th century in a newspaper. A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. Nowhere in the Bible. Huh? Okay, next one. Out of the mouths of babes. I see a thumb up. Thumbs up. Any downs? No downs. Well, you guys are good. Psalm 8:2. Out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, this is NIV, or New King James, you have ordained strength. Good job. How about the next one? Cleanliness is next to godliness. Cleanliness next to godliness. Elijah's going thumbs down. It's because he likes to play in the mud, right? Yeah. Cleanliness is next. Any thumbs up? No thumbs up? Not in the Bible. Actually, you've heard of John Wesley, right? He was probably one of the first ones to use this phrase in a sermon, and it really caught on. It's not that it's a bad thing, but it's not in the Bible, right? Next. For dust you are, and to dust you will return. Thumb up, up, up. Any downs? Any downs? Let's see. Genesis 3:19. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Good job. Next one. Eat, drink, and be merry, which is what we're going to do, right? Eat, drink, and be merry. How many have a thumb up? How many have a thumb down? I see a down. This is an up. Okay, here we go. Let's see. Yeah, but remember this. Where it's used in the Scripture, it's not used in a positive sense. You know what I mean? So even though this phrase is in the Bible, eat, drink, and be merry, when Jesus was speaking of it, he actually was criticizing those who live by this philosophy. In the Bible, yes. A philosophy promoted by the Bible? No. Next. Oh, this is a good one. God helps those who help themselves. Down, down, up. God helps those who help themselves. Let's see. No, it's actually not only not in the Bible, but it probably is contradictory to some of the things that we learn in the Bible about really us being able to rely upon God, right? Huh? I'll talk with some of you later. The apple of his eye. Yes or no? Up, down. Apple of his eye. What do you think? Yes? Had D thinking on this one. Apple of his eye, Deuteronomy 32:10. Actually, there's two scriptures with apple of his eye, and this is just one of them. Apple of his eye. Next. At their wit's end. It's a hard one. Down, up, down, up, down. Huh, this is going to be a tough one. Here we go. Psalm 107, 27. That was a hard one. It's a kind of snuck into a verse that you wouldn't think. But it's one of those things that because the Bible was so common, you know, at one time in America, that actually most people that went to college studied the Bible. They were scholars, right? And so phrases from the Bible became to be everyday phrases like at my wit's end, I'm at my wit's end. Coming from the Bible, but where's it at? I probably couldn't have told you the psalm. Next, moderation in all things. I think we might have gave that one away. Yes, no. Moderation in all things. Aristotle, he had this philosophy of ethics, and he wasn't really talking about mixing in some good things with some bad things as if that was okay. It had nothing to do with that whatsoever. It actually was a phrase that was found in his writing about ethics, about ethical behavior, and he talked about courage, for example, was one way to moderate fear. So it had nothing to do with usually how people use that phrase, like moderation in all things. You know, like what I do when I go to the dessert table. Right? Moderation in all things really has nothing to do with that. Next. There's nothing new under the sun. Up or down? Oh, there's not too many brave souls here now. Up, down, up, down. Here we go. Yes, Ecclesiastes 1:9. Yep, nothing new under the sun. Hey, this is interesting. Here's a good one. To thine own self be true. To thine own self be true. It's King James, right? To thine own self be true. I got an up, I got an up, I got a down, I got a half. Okay, Doug. Hamlet. Not Bible, Hamlet. The thine throws you, right? All right. A thorn in my flesh. Up, up, half, up. Yeah, this is 2 Corinthians 12:7. Paul's thorn in his flesh, right? It was given to me, a thorn in my flesh. How about this one? Money is the root of all evil. Up, down, up. Money is the root of all evil. Down, down, up. Money is the root of all evil. Huh? Very important distinction, right? It does not say money is the root of all evil. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. Big difference, right? It is a big difference. Oh, it's the love of money is the root of all evil. That's the phrase that's appearing. Oh, I see what you mean, Tommy. You're trying to gain points. I understand. No, that's good. It's true. I would never argue with a mathematical genius. No, it's true. That's right. It should have expanded it, right? Or that's right. Okay, I'll give you that one. I'll give you that one. I've been in Jamaica. They say, no problem, man. That's okay. No problem. Spare the rod, spoil the child. There's a thumb down. Spare the, it's a, from a child. Spare the rod, spoil the child. Now watch this. Tommy, watch this very carefully. Watch this now. Spare the rod, spoil the child. Watch carefully. Close. Close. Here's the scriptures. He who withholds the rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. Or foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will remove it from him. So the thought is there. The thought is there, but the words are not. Back to that. Yeah, I looked it up in all the versions, though. All right. But it's the thought is there. The words, though, are just more of our own paraphrase of the scripture, right? Here's another one. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. In, yes? Yes? Anybody down? Okay. Again, this one is almost exactly the same. Oops, Doug, you jumped over one there. Or that I did, missed it. Go back up. Huh. I think we jumped ahead there, Doug, for some. Yeah, this you're we're maybe going in the wrong direction. There it is, by the sweat of your brow. No, is that the one we're at? No. Okay, we'll just go from there. Do unto others. It actually is, there you go, very close to the biblical wording. Very, very close. Here's the wording. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. So again, the thought is the same. The words are a little different from the scripture. Thought is the same. Okay, we back on track now? All right. This too shall pass. Up, down. This too shall pass. Up, down. No comment. This too shall pass. Let's look. Nowhere in the Bible. Next. The eye is the window to the soul. Up, 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 down, down. Now watch this carefully. It doesn't say the eye is the window to the soul. It says the eye is the lamp of the body. So then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. Or the eye is the lamp of the body. When your eye is clear, then your whole body is also full of light. But when it is bad, your body also is full of darkness. So it doesn't say that the eye is the window to the soul, does it? Nope. Next. By the sweat of your brow. You might have seen this one. Yes? Yes. Go ahead. Genesis, chapter 3, by the sweat of your brow, right? God's words to Adam. Good. Next. God works in mysterious ways. There's an up. There's a down. There's a, I don't know, that's an up. Anybody else? Down. God works in mysterious ways. And the answer is? It's not really in. It actually comes from a hymn. God moves in mysterious ways. A hymn is not a Bible, right? Yeah. Next. The lion shall lie down with the lamb. Up. Up. Now this is going to be interesting to many of you. Watch this carefully. The lion shall lie down with the lamb. It is, again, never stated that way in Scripture, but it's really interesting how it came to be, because it comes from two passages where both a lion is coupled, but not with the lamb. Look, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, the wolf, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the lion, and the fatted calf together, and a little child shall lead them. Interesting. The wolf and the lamb are the two that are paired together, even though lion is in the same verse. But we kind of always say the lion shall lie down with the lamb, right? Not in the Bible. Pride goes before a fall. Up. Pride goes before a fall. Up and down. Elijah's playing it safe now. Half and half. Again, very close. Watch. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Thought pretty much the same, right? But not the quote. Next. Escape with only the skin of my teeth. Down, down, down. Any ups? Guess what? I got one up here, and you're right. The book of Job. Exact phrase. I am nothing but skin and bones. I have escaped with only the skin of my teeth. Huh. Next. There are seven deadly sins. Up. Seven deadly sins. Down. Here we go. Huh. It actually comes from Proverbs 6, but it never says the word deadly ever in that passage. It says there are six things the Lord hates, yet seven which are an abomination to him. There actually was a movie and a book that came out, The Seven Deadly Sins. Not from Scripture, though. Next. No one can serve two masters. Up. Up. Good job. Matthew 6:24. Very good. Next. Jesus never claimed to be the God the Son, the second person of the Trinity in human form. Yes or no? He never claimed. Is there anywhere in the Bible where Jesus claimed to be the Son of God? How many say yes, there is? No, there isn't. Here we go. All four Gospels, Jesus is said, or Jesus said, I am the Son of God. Next, the Bible never says that homosexuality is wrong. Down, down, down. Do you know where it's found? Huh? One verse, the word homosexuality appears. One verse, here it is. 1 Corinthians 6, 9, 11. It appears in a list of many sins, but not individually. Okay, how about this? If you're going to follow what the Bible says about sexual ethics, you have to apply everything it says about diet and dress from the Old Testament also. Down? Huh. This is an interesting concept about the principle of Scripture. Jesus fulfilled a lot of the Old Testament laws for us, right? Like, if we were serving pork today, would we be allowed to eat pork as Christians? Yes? Would we be allowed to worship on Sunday instead of Saturday? Yes. Even though those things are in the Old Testament law, right? Jesus fulfilled Old Testament law for us. There are principles in the Old Testament, though, that still apply to us. Amen? Next. A loving God could never send anyone to hell, so either he's not loving or there's no hell. What do you think? Is that true? Answer? There's never a reference in the Bible to God sending people to hell. It really is about a personal choice, isn't it? Amen. Last, how did you do? Pretty good? Huh? Bible scholars that you are. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Well, what we're going to do is set you free to eat. But we're going to pray over our food at this time. You ready? Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here today. Lord, we thank you for the food, and we ask your blessing upon it in our fellowship, Lord, that we would just chew on this topic as we talk with one another at the tables, just to be able to kick around between us the importance of knowing your word and your truth. So we ask now your blessing in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Let's eat.